Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Thriller Podcast. Today we're talking Verge. Yeah, that's right. Crypto ads ban only temporary. Former U.S. government regulators. And finally, in our main topic, we're discussing Mobius. That's right. The next big crypto. Thriller Podcast starting now.
Welcome to Thriller with Car Gonzalez. Broadcasting from Austin, Texas. Via SoundCloud and supported by listeners like you.
It's time for the news. 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 Thriller with Car Gonzalez.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a big show today, a very big show. That's right. We have a lot to cover. Let's just get started right now. So all about Verge, the 1 billion cryptocurrency that's pumping on porn. The future has come, according to CoinDesk. And indeed, it has. An average of 81 million visitors per day, the deal with the name brand website has been heralded as a defining moment for the industry, one that has also done much to boost awareness of what has, until April 17th, among the lesser known of the many privacy-centric cryptocurrencies, but the news has stirred up criticisms as well. So, according to Sarah Noether, a researcher, she says, "I don't view their deal with Pornhub as any endorsement or indication of their technical value." That's a lot of what people are saying. Valo, who is Justin Sunaruk, has described that a global marketing campaign, the likes of which you have never seen, it's going to change crypto in a really, really good way. It's also worth mentioning that they are supposed to be continuously marketing this whole Verge Pornhub deal on NBC this week. So look out for that. Like I said, guys, I'm holding Verge, so you shouldn't take my advice on anything, but I've been saying this for the longest time. This community, Verge, is a lot bigger than people think. And I don't underestimate the Verge community. I'm just saying, that's all I'm saying. I think a lot of people are underestimating the Verge community, but in actuality, I think that's why Pornhub got on board with them. And if you guys know anything about the Verge community, go check out their Discord. It's pretty crazy. Anyways, let's go on to the next piece of news. So California bill would legally recognize blockchain stocks. So a bill currently called 838 was first introduced by Senator Robert Hertzberg in January. The approved by that committee, the full Senate, will vote on the measure which would legalize and recognize information about company stocks include ownership stored on a blockchain. So the latest version of the bill would allow records administered by or on behalf of the corporation in which the names of all the corporation stockholders of the record and address and a number of shares registered in the name of each of those stockholders and all issuances and transfers of a stock of the corporation be recorded and kept on by means of the blockchain technology and distributed across electronic networks. It sounds interesting, but the only thing that I've noticed about this that's kind of funny, it looks like they're trying to circumvent stocks to get an ICO in there some way, tokens. I'm not sure if that's going to fly. I don't see it passing, but who knows? We'll keep an eye out for it. But should California approve the measure, an outcome that is far from guaranteed, though, the state would join Delaware and Wyoming in allowing companies to use the tech for administrative purposes. Which is good because blockchain eventually will take over. And we got former U.S. government regulator considers Ether XRP likely non-compliant securities. So this is pretty interesting. Former Goldman Sachs partner and government regulator Gary Gensler believes that altcoins Ethereum and Ripple exclusively should likely be considered unregistered securities. The New York Times reported Sunday. So he worked at Goldman Sachs. He's one of the top financial regulators, blah, 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 blah. Gensler told the New York Times that he does not classify Bitcoin as a security due to the fact that it was not issued through an initial coin offering and has a decentralized network of developers. On the other hand, Gensler told the New York Times that in regards to Ether and XRP, that there is a strong case for both of them, but particularly Ripple, that they are non-compliant securities. Gensler, who was the CFTC trading commissioner from 2009 to 2014, has said, "In 2018, it's going to be a very interesting time. Over 1,000 previously issued initial coin offerings and over 100 exchanges that offer ICOs are going to need to sort out how to come into compliance with U.S. security laws." In response to Gensler's claims, Oh man, this is getting dirty. So the Ripple spokesperson Tom Chanek told the New York Times that XRP is not a security because it does not give its owners an interest or stake in Ripple. They are not paid dividends. XRP exists outside of Ripple, and was only created before the company and will exist after it. Gensley, who the New York Times notes does not hold any cryptocurrencies and believes the blockchain will eventually change the world, blah, blah, blah. But he said, I would be surprised if in 10 years from now that this is somewhere in the financial system in a meaningful way, but so much of the stuff that is being promoted now will not be around. And he's completely wrong. So we don't need to take anything. But it's just funny to hear these guys comment, especially them being in their 80s. They probably won't even be around for a lot of this stuff. But it's interesting to hear their comments nonetheless, because they just don't understand the technology or understand where it's going. But that's cool. We'll take it from here. So last piece of news. Crypto ads ban is temporary, according to LinkedIn's co-founder. So Cointelegraph had a chance to talk to Eric Lai, Chinese-American investor and businessman, of course. He is also the co-founder of LinkedIn, where for years he has also served as founding CTO. So he did go on the record recently, and he said, I do believe that the ban is fundamentally around just kind of a conservative protective measure that these platforms have not have to be engaged with the answering the SEC's potentially interesting questions, which they don't have to deal with now that they ban these, you know, these ads. And it's true, guys. We all know that the rhetoric has changed in the ICO space. A lot of people can't talk about ICOs anymore, especially in America. And we've talked about this in the past that, you know, the SEC was going to give, you know, the Senate, the ICO head, and this is just how it's going to change now. But don't worry, ICOs will be around. They'll just be around in other countries and their technology will flourish. But here in America, it won't flourish that way, unfortunately. But the only good thing about that is that there are still some really good projects that are happening right now. And hopefully, you know, they stay here. I don't see them, but honestly, blockchain and this whole space is a worldwide phenomenon. So it doesn't really matter if America gets on board with it or not. Japan will end up taking it over, which is cool too. That is the news, I think. That is all we got. Kind of ran through that fast, but there's just so much to cover today. With that, let's get into our interesting video of the day.
Cars. Interesting video of the day.
All right, it's time for interesting video of the day. Today, special episode of Vice, and it's about Ethereum, and it's particularly about Vitalik and his Ethereum project that he's been building for the past, you know, 3 or 4 years. So in my opinion, I think Vice News does a really good job when it comes to presenting the news. We've covered them multiple times here on the space. There's another, Hacker Noon is another place that I go to a lot to get really good news as well. I feel like those two, Hacker Noon and Vice, just do a really good job. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they come out with every day. It's one of the things I look forward to every single morning. Okay, with that, this particular video is going to be on season 6 of Vice on HBO. This is a little snippet. I'm sure a lot of you have already seen it, but for the people that haven't, check this out. It's pretty interesting.
Raised in Canada to Russian parents, Vitalik Buterin is the blockchain movement's biggest celebrity. He created the Ethereum blockchain when he was just 21 years old, and its cryptocurrency, the Ether, is second only to Bitcoin. Its market cap increased by over 10,000% in 2017. Vitalik has been on a global campaign to raise awareness of his creation and its potential implications for business, finance, and government. We caught up with him in Russia, where the government hopes that Ethereum can be as transformative for their own finances as it's been for his.
So I heard about Bitcoin for the first time in maybe February 2011. Eventually, I found a guy who was willing to pay me 5 Bitcoins per article for writing articles for his Bitcoin blog.
And what was Bitcoin worth at the time?
Each Bitcoin was $0.8.
$0.8, so you're doing 5 per article, and now that would be $5,000 an article.
Right.
More or less. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Being a high school guy with not much money, I thought $1.5 an hour was a fairly reasonable wage. So
that was a good deal to you.
Yeah, totally.
$1.5 an hour.
Yeah, fight for 1.5.
Yeah.
Earned 20 Bitcoins. Then I spent 8.5 of them on a t-shirt. And I figured, oh, cool, this all actually works. And what really struck out at me was this idea that it actually is still possible for people to come together and create an entire new financial system. And this like seemed kind of very empowering to me.
Hearing you talk about recreating a financial system, there's something sort of utopian about it, isn't there? Get rid of all the old stuff and create something totally from scratch.
You know, it wasn't about kind of like overthrowing anything. It was more just the idea that before kind of finance and lots of other things seemed like there were all these people way up there that were just doing these things, and without them, you know, there's no way any of this could happen. And here, it just made it very obvious that money is just something that a community can make for itself whenever it wants. We know what decentralized networks are. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of BitTorrent and all the various file sharing networks, like all the various decentralized messaging systems. There was this group of cypherpunks that thought, okay, you can do all of those things in a decentralized way, but why can't we do decentralized cash? For example, if I have, some song and I want to send you the song over a decentralized network, I do this, and that's fine. I have the song, you have the song. Money is fundamentally different because money requires some notion of memory. So I have 100 digital dollars. I send you the 100 digital dollars. Then I make another transaction, which looks exactly like that first transaction, except the only difference is it sends someone else the 100 digital dollars. I published both transactions at the same time. Clearly, both of those transactions cannot succeed. You have to have some mechanism that keeps track of the fact that I sent you these $100, and so that after I send the first transaction, the system knows that I no longer have the money, and so the second transaction fails.
Explain to me why this technology is so transformational that people think it'll change the world.
Because they represent kind of epochal changes in the options that we have for interacting with each other. With Bitcoin, it's you don't need banks to send money anymore. It's just something that happens directly peer-to-peer. And Ethereum extends that to making digital enforceable agreements.
But that changes whole industries, doesn't it?
And it hasn't yet, but we'll see.
Do you feel like the destroyer of worlds here? I mean, you can essentially eliminate how many jobs by doing that?
Destroyer of jobs, creator of better ones.
Because that's pretty good.
That's awesome. And he takes the words right out of my mouth. Like when he says, destroyer jobs, creators of better ones, that's what we talk about in this podcast all the time. We talk about cypherpunks. We talk about the whole history of Bitcoin and Ethereum. I'm going to do an Ethereum year one, and I think it's just going to have to be covered at some point. We've done an Ethereum episode in the past. Check that out if you haven't. But yeah, it's really surprising to me that a lot of people that are on the outside looking in on this space, they still don't see the big significance of this all. And it's what's even more surprising is when I went to that boot camp on Saturday with other developers, I noticed that even the developers don't know that all this stuff exists yet, or do they understand the blockchain? So there's still room to grow. There's really a lot of room to grow. And I think Ethereum is headed in the right direction. I can't wait to see what Vitalik comes with next this summer, because I know he's going to be releasing something this summer. He always does. Anyways, with that, let's get into, is that Telegram coin request music? That's right. We have a TCR today. Let's jump into it right about now.
We have a Telegram coin request. Coin request. Coin request. We have a Telegram coin request. Coin request. Coin request. We have a Telegram.
Alright, let's get into our TCR. Today is TurtleCoin, and it's brought to you by no other than Zamped. Yeah, Zamped is one of our longtime listeners. He is an active community member of our Telegram and our Discord. So let's take a look at TurtleCoin. So, it looks like TurtleCoin is not even on the coin market cap. So, thanks for the curveball. I like that. TurtleCoin.lol for any interested. I'm going to be transparent. As of right now, I have 20,000 of these coins. Whoa. So it looks like cryptocurrency subreddit are pumping this coin considerably. Let's check it out. TurtleCoin.lol. Doesn't look like it's going on the coin market cap, so we can't look at that. But TurtleCoin is a fun, fast, and easy way to send money to friends and businesses. We have builds for Windows, Apple, Ubuntu, Linux. Cool. Fun turtle facts. TurtleCoin has a private blockchain. What is it? Turtle facts. Has a private blockchain. Nobody sees your money except for you. You can restore a deleted TurtleCoin wallet with your View key and Spend key. So why TurtleCoin? Fast transactions, privacy, easy to use, easy to mine, community. So it looks like it's more about all the community. And that's what I'm starting to realize. Like some of these smaller coins, guys, like what Verge used to be, it really is about the community on those. You have to get behind it, especially if it's just another cryptocurrency. And I think in the future, we're going to start seeing more of these kind of pop up where it's just going to be a community-driven crypto. And honestly, that's all Bitcoin was. It was just a community-driven crypto. Same thing with Litecoin. That's all it really was in the beginning stages. So when people try to, you know, crap on these other coins, it's like, they're doing the exact same thing that Bitcoin did in the early days. It was just a lot of community building, and a lot of people were sending each other Bitcoin, and they just slowly evolved it into the what it is now. People tend to forget that, but that's what it was. It looks like TurtleCoin is going to be something like that, but they have a roadmap. So looks like they released the GUI wallets. They got partnerships here. They're going to be available in Q2. Trade Satoshi, Trade Orge, OTC Trade. Here in the end, looks like they're going to... A big headache with proof of work is sinking a huge chain, and fast blocks don't usually help with that issue. So they're going to begin work on that. They also are working on smart contracts for it. That's cool. And then Turtle Pay Network. What is a good ATM if it isn't nearby? Tap and Pay is yesterday. Tap and Earn is tomorrow. Your nearest crypto ATM is in your pocket. Pretty cool. They have a Discord and a GitHub. So everything looks pretty awesome. They originally started as Rocksteady and Bebop. And they were discussing the madness around fake and flimsy ICOs with no product. Bebop surmised that it just wouldn't be possible to put out a real project without a serious team. And that's when they created TurtleCoin, 2017, December 9th. I think I heard TurtleCoin here on Block Zero. It's a podcast. You guys might want to check that out. Where they talk to the actual, I guess, founder of it, the creator of it, or one of the creators of it. Right now, it's still early, Zamped, unfortunately. I can't give you a review on it just because there's really nothing there. I would say check out the community. If there's a lot of people involved and if it becomes something, then of course you want to hold it. But until we can get an actual value for it on the coin market cap, it's really hard to gauge. It's really hard to gauge one of these. So I would just say if you're involved with the community, Zamp, stay triggered to it. Help however you can. That's the best thing you can do when it comes to any coin that you fall in love with, is just help them as much as you can, give them the proper support, you know, tell people about it just like you're doing right now and get the word out. That's all you can do. So I can't really give you an up or down on TurtleCoin, but with that is the end of TCR. Now I would like to present a brand new segment called Thriller Mail Time. This is where we take your mail and we read it live on the show.
Send us your questions and Carr will read them on the show via Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, even smoke signals or pigeons. We accept them all, only on Thriller Mail Time.
Oh, right, ladies and gentlemen. Today's our first Thriller Mail Time, and it's no other than Sawyer Maguire. You know, me and Sawyer always talk on Snapchat. So the other day, he had actually had a question for Ken, and it just so happened that when I clicked Snapchat, I totally forgot that it disappears. So when I was going to read it live on the show, there was no message. So I had to tell Sawyer, I was like, hey, I'm so sorry, but can you send that over to Twitter? Sure enough, he did. And today we got a Twitter mail. So check this out. He says, hey, Carr, was wondering if I should hold my position on Carr Vertical, VeChain, and Substratum, or transfer to EOS and or Ether for summer. Really thinking about trading VeChain and Substratum for it, but wanted to double check to see if this is a smart move. Thanks for all the advice and for constantly being a person I can trust in this space. Dude, that means the world to me. Thank you so much, Sawyer. You guys know I try my best to, you know, give you my honest opinion on things. Again, this is not financial advice, Sawyer, so don't take it as that. But if I was in your situation, I would totally be transferring that over to EOS. I would have transferred it over when it was like $4, but if you could still get in now, you could still make some profit there. Ethereum, that's one of those where Vitalik is going to be releasing some major updates for Ethereum, and that's going to pump the price. But we know for a fact that EOS is going to pump as well in May, and it's going to pump right now, and it's continuously pumping. So if I was you, just as long as you get that back over is I would move it over to EOS instead of Ether. That would be my answer. But like I said, that's not financial advice, Sawyer, but that's what I would do if it was my holdings. But yeah, thank you so much for sending this in. I really appreciate it. If you guys want to send anything in, be sure to send it in via Twitter. That's probably the best way for me to see it, honestly. Or send it to me in a direct message through Telegram or Facebook or pretty much anywhere we have our things at, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. You guys know the links are in the show notes. Anyways, with that, let's get on to coin talk. Let's do it.
It is time. Everything you have been waiting for.
All right, it's time for Coin Talk, my favorite part of the day. Everybody knows I love this. I love Coin Talk. It's one of those things I look forward to. I'm not even joking. In the beginning of this podcast, there was really no other. We really didn't cover a lot of crypto the first five episodes, but it wasn't until like episode six where we were like, okay, we got to go full on blockchain. Like, this is something. Like, because we had a coin segment, we had a crypto segment, but. And this was my favorite part of it. Go back and listen to those old episodes. You'll hear me say, this is my favorite part, because it really is. A couple of announcements I want to make. So we have Greg from Akash. We actually did an interview this afternoon, and it's going to be up here probably after this episode. So make sure to check that out. I don't say this all the time, but I will say that Greg from Akash, he's building a pretty awesome team. And I'm not even trying to like pump it or anything, because they don't even have an ICO out. But I will say though that, holy crap, guys, if you heard what I heard on that interview, you would be stoked. Not only that, we were talking off air and he was telling me some things that I was just like, holy cheat. And I can't wait till that comes out. I think I'm gonna have to get me some way, somehow. But really interesting interview. You guys should check it out. It's Akash. Next up, I got to say, we have another interview coming up on Wednesday. Look for that to drop sometime this weekend. And then we're hoping to get Zencash on here, hopefully, if we have somebody that we're working with to get them on board for a thriller convo next week. So be looking for those to drop. Like you said, you guys know that I'm like bullish on trying to give everybody a platform. It's the same thing that I told Greg earlier when I interviewed him. I said, there's just no one out there right now that's giving any of these blockchain platforms a platform to talk about their projects. And it kind of sucks, because I feel like a lot of the people that I've talked to in this space, they charge to come on their show. And it's so dumb, because this, if you really cared about blockchain and you really cared about what was going on and the build out of this whole space, if you're really true to that, you would give them the platform they deserve so they can get their project out there and put aside your petty, like, I don't help ICOs, or petty, I don't believe them, or it's a scam. No, it let them have the platform to discuss it and let the listener decide whether that is a legitimate company or legitimate project or not. Like, that's all we're trying to do with Thriller Convo. And I have to reiterate again, there is no money being thrown to me or anything like that when I'm doing those. I got a mean message over the weekend that I thought was kind of really dumb when it came to the Paragon Thriller Convo that we did. And they said, oh, you got paid for that convo, you could tell. And I'm like, dude, you have no idea. Like, when it comes to me promoting, you know, these projects, it's strictly about just helping them out. Like, there's not enough people doing that. I don't think you guys realize that when you start creating stuff for YouTube or start creating stuff for podcasts or anything like that, when it comes to blockchain, a lot of these people have to pay to get on those platforms. Like, I'm not going to name any names because they're friends, but there's a lot of people in this space that have to pay just to get listened, just to get listed on those shows. And it's pretty sad, in my opinion, but Thriller Podcast is not like that. I'm trying to do it legitimately. We're completely independent. Like, we don't make any money right now. The only little money that we make is through our Patreon, and it's thanks to all the great patrons that are supporting us. The other stuff is coming out of pocket from me. And yeah, yes, we're looking for sponsors, but until that happens, it's neither here nor there. We're still going to completely do the right thing. We're going to give, and give, and we're going to continue to give because we want to push the whole blockchain space forward, and we want to help all these companies, all these projects get their name out there and use Stiller Podcast as a platform. Because honestly, guys, if you guys really believe in this, really believe in blockchain, really believe in everything, really believe in the cyberpunk movement, really believe in all this stuff that we talk about here on Throw Podcast, then you would at least give a lot of these people a listen. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying to go out there and purchase them or talk about them, but just give them a listen, hear them talk. That's why if you notice on those interviews, I really don't speak too much. I try not to speak because I try to let them get as much of the voice out because I speak enough. Trust me, I speak enough. So I try to let them just have a microphone and then talk to everybody about their thing. And that's all that's supposed to be. Anyways, want to put that to rest because that was one of those emails that I got over the weekend where I was like, really? Dude, do you really know how we do this show? Like, yeah. Anyways, one other thing I did notice, there was a couple people that threw an iTunes review. Thank you so much for that. I need all of y'all to do that, though. If you guys want better interviews and if you want better sponsorships, if you want Throw a Podcast to become flush for the month, then you guys need to leave some iTunes reviews, Google Play reviews. Go out there. Please leave the reviews. All you're doing is helping this podcast grow. And a lot of these sponsors, a lot of them, they don't care about the listenerships. They really don't. They don't care how many people listen to this podcast. We can be the biggest podcast in blockchain. They don't care about that. They want to see the reviews. They want to see it on iTunes. They want to see it on Google Play. So please help me out by putting an iTunes review. If you've listened to the show more than once, please, please, please put a review in iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Tell us how awesome we are. And yeah, just do us a solid like that. I very much appreciate it. With that, let's get into our disclaimer.
Remember, Thriller Podcast does not give financial advice. He cannot tell the future, even if he thinks he can. He is just some dude trying to save the world one Satoshi at a time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for, that's right, Coin Talk. Let's get into it. So it looks like that Bitcoin finally crossed the 9,000 mark. Yes, it did. It was a beautiful thing. Not going to lie. I remember last year when we got to 9,000 and when we got to 10,000, people were just ecstatic. That was a good time. That was awesome. I remember that. It was great. And today we passed it again, and there's no surprise there. We knew that was going to happen. It was just a matter of time. We got Ethereum at $668. Ethereum's on the swing back up. If you guys remember, Ethereum was at $399 not even a couple weeks ago. That's amazing. You could easily double your profits or close to it. We got Ripple at 91 cents. So Ripple was surging as well. We got Bitcoin Cash at 1500. Awesome. Good to see Bitcoin Cash up again. We got EOS at 1260. And as you know, this is up 1.5%. It's going to continuously go up for pretty much all of May into April. I see it going. Honestly, I've said this from last year, so this I'm not wavering any way, which way. I'm telling you that I see EOS going up to $40, $50. And I know a lot of people are going to be like, you're crazy, Carr. There's no way. I seriously think it can get to $40. There's absolutely no reason why it couldn't get to $40. Because think about it. It's $12 right now. If you would have got in at $3 during the dip, you would have made some nice coin, 4 times the amount right now. So EOS was one of those planned pumps that we all knew about that was going to happen. We've been talking about it for 6 months. So if you've been listening to the podcast, you knew this day was going to come. So you should have got in earlier. And I don't know why you didn't believe me. But I will say again, even at $12, it is going to get to at the very least $30 and possibly $40. I'm shooting for $40. I've been saying it for a pretty long time, $40, $50. That's why I've been shooting it at. But it's up to y'all. You guys make your own decisions. We got Litecoin at $159. Pretty good, pretty good. We got Cardano at 29 cents. We got Stellar at 38 cents. So Stellar just keeps climbing. It's a rocket. You guys know how I feel about Stellar. I've actually come to realize that Stellar long term is the smartest play that's out there right now. I know a lot of people do not believe me in that sentiment. But it's the truth. If you're looking for a coin that you're going to have maximum maximum profit over a three-year mark, look no other than Stellar. Yes, there's tons of them. But when it comes to Stellar, this is one that actually has a roadmap built out. And it has not even has the one of the best teams in crypto. EOS is great. Don't get me wrong. EOS is great. We have Ethereum. That's great. We have Bitcoin. That's great. All those are great. I'm not saying they're not great. NEO, you know, they're all great. Monero, they're all great. Trust me, they are. Cardano, yes. But when it comes to Stellar, this is the only crypto. When it comes to Lumens, this is the only crypto that is priced at a perfect amount right now, 38 cents. Trust me when I tell you this. I remember when Ethereum, and I remember when Litecoin were priced very low. And I regret every single day of my life that I didn't buy that. But that's what I'm saying. You have a second chance now. I have a second chance. That's why I'm doubling down on Stellar. And I've been doubling down on it for the past, two, 3 months already, once I figured this stuff out. So if you guys don't know how I feel about Stellar, go check out the Stellar Rocket episode. We released that last week. I think I've given you some pretty good points there. But yeah, I primarily think Stellar is it's like one of those, like the way Ken was saying last week, it's in the Goldilocks zone for me, because it's priced at 38 cents. So right here, it's going to shoot up to $1, $2, $3 very soon. Or when I mean soon, I say like by the end of the year. But these are the ones that you want to grab when they're this low, because it's just a matter of time before they rocket up really fast. And then once you get to a certain point, it's gonna price you out of it. Kind of like right now, how I feel about, like, I love Ethereum. Like, I just feel like I'm priced out of purchasing Ethereum just because it's so freaking high. But I have enough to sustain. I just feel like it's a little too rich for my blood. But okay, let's go on. We got IOTA at $2.20. It's up 2%. We got NEO at $78, up 1.44%. We got Monero at $286. We all know Monero is going to get to $300, right? So that's going to happen. Got Dash at $5.24. We got Tron at 5 cents. My brother called me today. He's like, hey, what do I do about Tron? You know, where do you see Tron going? You've always been, he thinks I'm like a crypto futurist or something. And I'm not. I've never said I am, but I do get a lot of this stuff right. And he asked me, where do I see Tron? And I told him, I was like, I believe Tron can get to 40, 50 cents by summer. And he's like, how is that possible? I was like, because they're going to be releasing a lot of stuff here this summer. Same thing with Ethereum. Like, there's a lot of people that hate Tron. They just love to FUD on Tron. And that's perfectly fine. Every crypto that's ever done anything has gotten FUD on. That's just the way it is. Charlie Lee talks about that a lot. But I will say Tron will literally get to 40 to 50 cents by the end of summer. Trust me, it'll reach that. It'll reach that. Now, if I'm wrong, which I don't think I will be, but if I am wrong, then I'll say that I'm wrong. But I really believe Tron can shoot up very high and crash back down to 20 cents. It's just one of those cryptos. It can. It's capable of doing that. We got NEM at 40 cents. We got Ethereum Classic at $21. Wow. Ethereum Classic just keeps going up. But we all know it's going to get to 32 bucks. That's nothing new. We got VeChain at $4. We got Qtum at 21 bucks. We got OhmyzGo at 16 bucks. We got Icon at $3.88. I know a lot of people are holding Icon right now. That's pretty interesting. We have Lisk at $12. That's nice. We have Bitcoin Private at 58 bucks. We got Zcash at 303 bucks. We got Verge at 6 cents. So there has been word on the street that Verge is going to be in the mainstream news this week. If that happens, look for a serious pump on Verge. There's a lot of people talking about Verge. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, like, this community, Verge, do not count them out. You can count the crypto out all you want, but that community, you know, I think that's one of the best communities out there in crypto right now. In my opinion, I think they are. There's no one that tries as hard as them. Maybe the Tron holders, maybe Redcoin. I don't know. But Verge is one of those communities that I would not go against, just because I feel like they can do something. The community can single-handedly do something. We got Bitcoin Diamond at $4.68, just because they like literally believe in it so much. Like, that alone will take you far in crypto. Got Dogecoin at 5 tenths of a cent. That's a signal letting you know that crypto is up. We got Eternity at $2.43. We got Waves at $5.64. We got Archain at $1.47. We got Golem at 60 cents. We got Decreed at $67. We got Augur at $43. We got Waltz and Chain at $13.93. Oh, we got Mixin XIN at $1,000. Yikes. We have ARK at $3.49. We got PIVX at $5.71. Substratum at 73 cents, down 0.44%. We got Factum at $30. We all know Factum's going to go to $45. You know, why sugarcoat it? We got Funfair at 4 cents. And we have Redcoin still pumping at 7 tenths of a cent. I do not understand that. We got Kencoin. Whoa, back in the top 100 at 92 at 2/1000ths of a tenth. Yeah, Kencoin is interesting. And you guys heard me talk about it in the past. It's one of those that I am holding, but it's one of those where I don't see it going anywhere. But just in case it does, I'm holding some. And I'm not talking a lot, only like 120,000. But it's literally so inexpensive right now that the only reason I hold something like that is because I think of Ripple. Back when Ripple or XRP came out, it was literally priced around this price. And this was in 2014, I believe. It was like 1/1000ths of a tenth. And everybody used to FUD on it all the time. And that was perfectly fine. And they were going through a whole different shift and everything. And there was a lot of people that held a lot. I'm talking about like millions of Ripple or XRP. And when it finally got to a penny, it surged. And then everybody cashed out. And then it crashed back down back to 1/1000ths of a tenth. But at that time, it kept fluctuating. And it really didn't do anything for a really long time, for like 24 months. And I'm still talking about XRP here. And then finally, it finally caught momentum. And the Ripple, the company, started, you know, implementing it and try to run with it. And before you knew it, Ripple was out there, you know, making partnerships, doing all kinds of stuff. And the price of XRP just went up last year. And it shot up just like that. And when I see Ken, I am not banking that they're going to be the next XRP, because I don't think they will be. But I'm banking on the fact that if I hold that Ken for 3 to 4 years, it's very possible it can get to a penny. And if it gets to a penny or even 10 cents, I'm winning. And I'm winning because I'm holding such a big amount that any price above a penny is going to give me a nice return for 3 years. That's why I'm holding it, because I remember how XRP was back when it was priced that low. Anyways, that's a history lesson for y'all. With that, let's get into our main topic. Today we are talking about Mobius. And yes, I really believe this might be the next biggest crypto. And I know a lot of you are like, whoa, what are you talking about? And I'm serious. I think Mobius might be the next big thing. I think this might be the breakout crypto of the year. There's some, like last year, like you had Stellar and Cardano, where people were like super bullish on it. XRP was another one where they were just breakouts. They shot up to the top 10. I think Mobius could be another breakout this year. I think Mobius could be a contender. A contender, that's right. I really believe they could be. Anyways, let's get into it right now in our main topic. She said you don't need time, meeting. You won't need your mate inside. My faith won't lie. He said you don't need my behave. You wanna leave my lady lovers of my 18 summers alone. She said you don't read minds. Be patient. She won't leave me shaking. Leave me shaking. we need to play our shilling disclaimer. That's right, shilling disclaimer, to prevent you from listening to me. That's right, let's roll it. None of this is financial advice, really. If you're gonna invest in Mobius right now, do so at your own risk, not at mine. Please, please do your own research. And by all means, do not trust me. I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. This is just all speculation. And my weird fascination to predict the future. Okay, that should about cover it. Let's get on to Mobius. That's right.
Brought to you by a team from Stanford, Harvard Law and Y Combinator, with an advisory board consisting of Jed McCaleb, co-founder of Ripple and Stellar, Jack Lee, founding managing partner of HCM Capital, Chandler Guo, blockchain angel investor, Jackson Palmer, creator of Dogecoin. The Mobi public token was the first major token built on Stellar XLM network.
So they're pretty stacked. Like, when I say they're stacked, they're pretty damn stacked. They have a lot going for them. And the funny thing is, I wanted to do this show for Mobius last week. It was 4 cents last week. Right now, it's currently 14 cents at this time. I purchased some as soon as I really researched this, which was at 12 cents. To say that this is going to be a breakout crypto is an understatement. This is going to surge. This is going to surge fast. Now, the circulating supply is only 376 million. That is fantastic. Its total supply is at 887 million. That is even more fantastic. So currently right now, you can purchase it through gate.io, Stellarport, decentralized exchange, and Stronghold, and OTC, BTC, and GoPax. So they've yet to even get on some bigger exchanges. So if you get in right now at 14 cents, you're going to be sitting pretty, trust me. Yeah. So let's look at the charts, because everybody cares about the charts. They want to know what this coin was at, pre-ICO, all that stuff. Okay, so pre-ICO, it was literally at 38 cents. 38 cents pre-ICO in January. It shot up, of course, like it always does, out the gate at 45 cents, and then it crashed. It crashed all the way down mid-January at 26 cents, then climbed back up, January highs, 35 cents, and then crashed back down during the dip at 25 cents. At that time, it just completely plummeted all the way down to 13 cents. Just until recently, back in February, it got up to 28 cents and then went on a slow downturn all the way from 15 cents down, way down, way down, way down, way down to 4 cents. And then all of a sudden, a couple weeks ago, it shot up. It shot up to 24 cents. And since then, it crashed back down. It crashed back down considerably. So now slowly we see the pump again, and it's climbing. It's climbing steadily. Now, this is just going to be a quick forecast. There's really not a lot of information to go off of here, but if I'm just looking at it from a crypto standpoint, of course, we're going to get to 45 cents again by the end of the year. That's a for sure statement. Right now, it looks like it's on a trek towards 25 cents. The only reason I say that is because usually when cryptos get as high as a peak where it just considerably is going down and then all of a sudden it just peaks up at a specific spike, it finds its level at 25 cents. This is where its level is at currently at. It's at 25 cents and then completely went back down. So you could say a lot of pump and dumps on this coin, but I would say if you look at the tech and you look at the team and you look at what they're building, this is pretty exceptional. So I would definitely hold. Now, if we look at the social graph, they have a lot going for them with their social graph. The fact that they were the first big coin on the Stellar network is a big deal. You have people that love Stellar jumping on board. The fact that Jed McCaleb is a part of the board, it makes it another big thing. So let's look at their website, because most importantly, what they're trying to do is different. So they're trying to connect the world to the blockchain ecosystem. And when they say that, they mean it. And they mean it in a lot of different ways. So This is coming from David Gobod, the CEO. He says, we look at Ethereum like AOL or MySpace. And that's crazy that he says that. But he goes on to explain. So just give him a break. He says, we realized there was no way that Ethereum could handle our technology. It was too slow, too expensive, and too insecure. We see all these other projects with these immense problems. That's crazy. He also says, they are Turing complete programs, but they are really hard to write. We think we've uncovered this underutilized, really unknown technology in Stellar. And he says this because more advanced or technical users are really excited about the data marketplace because they are aware that getting data into a blockchain ecosystem is really complicated. He also says that this reminds him of the early days of the internet. And he's right in that example. Currently right now, Ethereum only gets 7 transactions per second. And to me, it sounds like a lot, especially in a decentralized network. That sounds great. But Stellar, and it could just be because there's not a lot of platforms on Stellar, but they currently get 1,000 transactions per second. And they have also said that they could even with a fix here, a quick fix is what they say, they can get it to 2,000. Now, that's not where we need to be at to compete with, you know, Amex or Visa or anything like that. We need to be at tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands transactions per second. But that's a good start, especially for being decentralized. And he says that. This is what the CEO says. So if we look at this, we can see a couple more information pieces. So let's check this out. Mobius is the protocol for connecting consumer applications and high fidelity oracles to the blockchain economy. So basically what they're trying to become is like Stripe for the blockchain, which means easily integrating any token into any existing apps, easily connecting existing apps or data to smart contracts on the blockchain. Use Mobius for in-app payments in Dapp Store. So universal proof-of-stake Oracle protocol and patent pending, of course. Smart markets, machine-to-machine micropayments. And from what I can tell here, it looks like they're trying to connect real data to the blockchain. And by enabling Mobius tokens, they're going to be able to do that with high throughput and secure smart contracts. Now, if they could actually get this done, that's another thing. But they do say near zero fees. So Mobius protocol is exponentially cheaper than 99.9% of tokens in existence. For every dollar spent, Mobius can transfer 400,000 transactions at 0.00025 per data transfer. It's secure. So built from the ground up with limited attack surface, Mobius offers robust security with extremely low attack surface. This makes smart contracting capability significantly safer from adversarial attack and much easier to audit. And they have high scalability. And what's interesting is they are creating their own Dapp Store. So start using the Dapp Store today. Businesses are connecting consumer-facing apps to accept blockchain-based payments today powered by Mobius. The Mobius protocol allows developers to easily implement and support advanced decentralized blockchain features such as token payments, governances, and oracles. Crypto payments as easy as email. And the team is pretty bright. They have a really good technical advisory board in Jed McCaleb and Jack Lee. The team are a bunch of scholars, really smart, really, really smart people. I'm going to play a little interview from them. So check it out now.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So the team, the founders are us. We are full time on it. We self-funded it before the pre-sale. I studied computer science at Stanford. I taught myself how to program in high school, actually, before that. I then started and ran a software automation team in the White House when President Obama was president. And I, what was the last thing?
You went to Harvard.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I also went to a Harvard Law School, and that's why I'm very interested in law, tech, and finance. And that's why Mobius is a perfect fit. And Cyrus, you can say a bit.
Yeah, so I've been involved in the blockchain for many years. David and I were friends at Stanford during undergrad. And what really interested me in Bitcoin back in 2011 is that I was actually looking for strategic hedges against you know, impending inflation. I thought there would actually be a hyperinflationary scenario because, you know, interest rates were, you know, being artificially suppressed by the Federal Reserve. And so, you know, I was looking at traditional hedges against counterparty risk for fiat currencies. It's traditionally gold and other bullion. But I noticed like some friends on Wall Street, not going to mention who, were helping to manipulate those markets with high frequency trading and other algorithmic spoofs. So when I learned about Bitcoin, it was trading around $8 to $9. And, you know, I made my first purchase around $14 and really put, you know, the NSF money that I had from my research a lot more into it when it started going towards 20. And so I've been really following the space pretty intimately. And I think we've actually hit an inflection point where this entire ecosystem is becoming very, very competitive, but also very production ready to make real things of utility and not just, you know, speculative things to chase. And that's where I see the real value is going. If you were to ask me like how I see it playing out, I think the next 3 years, there's going to be a lot of interest in the space, and it may overheat just like in the dot-com era, but there's going to be like a mass Permian extinction event, and a few really or great companies will become the next Google, Apple, et cetera, of the space. And so, you know, we're really, really eager to and looking forward to contributing to it.
Right. So we have two great advisors. The first one is Jackson Palmer, the creator of Dogecoin. And the second one is the founder of Ripple and Stellar, Jed McCaleb. And we really connected with him because he saw that Ethereum could not handle our transaction volume. He knew the problems we were going to have and knew that Stellar was really a great fit. So then he told us all about it. And then we realized it really comes down to speed, security, and cost. Stellar is faster, it's cheaper, and it's more secure because it has smart contracting capabilities, but it's not Turing complete. It doesn't have all the bugs associated with a Turing complete programming language. Like you take the recent Parity wallet hack, that won't happen with Stellar because multi-sig wallets, it's built into the system. So you're not going to have some bug where the language is poorly designed and it defaults functions to be public. You know, when we're transacting trillions of dollars, we just can't have that risk. We're going to be doing billions, probably trillions of transactions a year. It's just not possible to do it anywhere else. So that's why we brought Jed on, and he's truly a genius. He's probably the leading blockchain technology expert and entrepreneur, having founded two of the biggest coins.
Yeah, and he hits it right there. It should not go unnoticed that Jed is a part of that advisory board. And it shouldn't go unnoticed that the fact that they are building on the Stellar network. Those are two big things right there. So that's it for Mobius. That's all I have. There's really not a lot out there. It's still being built right now. It hasn't gotten to a lot of the big exchanges like Bittrex or Binance or any like Kraken or anything like that. So if anything, there's room for this coin to grow out exponentially. Not only because of the amount that's in circulation right now and that the total amount that it will reach finally when it is in circulation completely. So this coin is going to be worth a lot of money, I think, here in the short term. We can safely say that, just as long as they hit all their goals, just as long as they're able to keep rolling this stuff out and they're honestly able to get everything working the way they're saying that they can get it to work. So I will just say that if everything goes as planned, then Mobius could be the next big crypto here in 2018. And that's pretty amazing stuff, really amazing stuff. So you guys are getting it on the ground floor right now. So go check it out if you guys are interested. Again, this is not financial advice. This is just something that I've been looking at for a while now, and I finally took the jump on it. It was like, you know what? People have to be people have to, we have to get the word out on this, because that's what we do on Thriller Podcast. We find all the coins that, you know, all the blockchain projects that people don't necessarily mess around with, or they wait too long on. And that's what we do here at Thriller Podcast. We find all the gems, and this is another gem. This is an absolute gem. So next year I'll be saying, didn't I tell you about Mobius? And it, just like I am telling you now, just about Stellar and Cardano, like those were all worth 3-4 cents at the time, and now they're worth a lot more. So with that, let's get on to the end of the show. That's right, guys. Only a few more days left in April before we start really seeing the highs. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Everything is going to climb. It's going to build and build and build until we reach that half a trillion coin market cap that I've been predicting for a very long time. I can't wait. That is going to be a glorious day. So for now, buy Bitcoin, save the world. See you tomorrow.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Car Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Car said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go do your own research. Listen to other things that start their